Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, I want you to know that I really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know that can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive influence on the world. And I want you to know that as soon as you start hearing this subject, you'll realize there's a lot of people out there that you're going to want to send this to. Now, Answers for the Family will continue to address a variety of issues, such as locating a runaway teen or family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and creating greater health, happiness for you and your family. Now, I also want to introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, happiness, security, and creating joy for you and your family. Now, before we get to our guest and I talk a little bit with my guest co-host, I just want to thank you all for taking your precious time to listen to the show, and especially those of you who send in questions, comments, suggestions, and leaving reviews. It's very important. Now, before we get to our show and we get to our guest co-host, I want to talk a little bit about something that's coming up, and it's called the City Summit. Now, this is a world-class, socially conscious business acceleration experience, and it features special guest Robert Herkovic of Shark Tank. And what we do with this group is we invite highly successful business leaders and some of the world's top business strategists and founders of billion-dollar brands to network and teach our community how to accelerate business, generate more referrals, create new revenue streams, raise the value of your business, increase sales, elevate brand awareness, and concentrate on creating hypergrowth. Now, the topics of the City Summit range from leadership, innovation, business operations, marketing, inspiration, pursuit of health and wellness. And we want this City Summit and all of our attendees to learn, grow, and to thrive. Now, the summit leads into what we call the City Gala, and it will be set up in such a way to honor Demi Moore on the evening of the Academy Awards supporting startup charities, which are founded by visionary community leaders. The City Gala will take place at 6 p.m. at the Great Caesars Banquet Hall in Tujunga, California. Now, for more information and for tickets to this, which will be at the Burbank Marriott Convention Center, go to www.citysummit.com. There will also be a celebrity poker tournament, and I believe that will be headed up by Johnny Depp. So for those that would like to get involved, for those especially here in Southern California that want to reach new heights with your business and with yourself, because we're going to be touching on health and wellness. So check it out. Again, go to the website. If you're driving, go ahead and go to the Answers for the Family website, and we will be able to have that information for you. Now, our topic today, which is also the title of our guest's forthcoming book, is The Evolved Masculine: Be the Man the World Needs and the One She Craves. So my guest co-hosts today are Martin and Jesse Cove. Marty is known for his portrayal of Sensei John Kreese in The Karate Kid and now in the top-rated Cobra Kai series, as well as several other physically demanding and very masculine roles in movies such as Rambo, First Blood Part 2, Steel Justice, and the TV show Cagney and Lacey. Jesse is an accomplished actor in his own right, and as a handsome young man, brings his own unique view of masculinity today. Marty, Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. Now, before we bring on our guest, Share with us a little bit about your views of the changing roles of men in our society and how you believe masculinity has changed. Marty.
Well, I mean, back in the day, I think it was circa 1982 when I first started Cagney & Lacey. And I'd always believed that, well, based on, I was brought up where my mother was dominant party in the house, and she had always earned more money than my father, and just a little better educated, you know, both very loving parents, and I was adopted, so a great deal of affection in the house, and, you know, they were marvelous. But in essence, the character of the mother was a little more dominant than the father. And I remembered starting Cagney & Lacey and playing this character, Victor Isbecki, and he was, you know, a chauvinist. And I remember doing research and going to the police station and watching the policeman there down in San Bernardino in the sheriff's department. I remember how they used to, you know, just really joke with the women officers and pound them and, you know, push them and, you know, do the stuff that we would do if we were on a football team, you know, with each other. And I kind of thought it was interesting, you know. I couldn't do that on the show. But I'd always gone into that show, even though I played a male chauvinist, thinking that it was inappropriate for two women, Cagney and Lacey, to be detectives in the precinct. But in my heart, I'd always felt that a woman could do anything a man could do. And I was brought up that way. And my mother was the breadwinner in my house. So, you know, I've always come up that way. And now things are different. You know, the whole society base is a lot different. I just watched that movie Bombshell, and I just loved it. You know, I just thought the work was great. The way it was treated was terrific, you know. And it's fascinating now to see the evolution of womanhood, you know.
Well, you know, one of the things you mentioned about with the Cagney and Lacey, and if I'm with my kids or if I'm with somebody and I'm watching a movie and somebody will start talking about a character on there, and they'll start kind of confusing the character with the person, and I'll say, no, that's what's good acting. I said, it's good acting when you have a character that you know is not like that, but yet can portray that character and then walk away and still go back and be the person that he really is. So, Jesse, talk a little bit about kind of your journey, not only as an actor, but I know that you're also involved in things that are helping with male masculinity.
Well, thanks, Alan. Also, I really appreciate you having me on here. You know, it's such an interesting time right now. You know, even what my dad was talking about, you know, just the evolution of where things are going. And I started this company with my dear friend, Scott Seymour. We met, you know, it's actually his idea in the beginning, and we talked about it, and it's called Evolving Gladiators. And it's really all about, you know, opening the conversation about masculinity and also about, you know, just allowing men to just feel their feelings and be able to communicate better about those things. Because, you know, men have kind of grown up in this way where we have to, like, always be strong all the time. And you can be strong all the time, you know, but you can also be, you know, you can also talk about your feelings, you know, because men hurt. We have pain. Sure. We all do. We don't like to show it as much. I mean, look, I'm someone who rides horses, shoots guns, can chop wood, you know, does all these kinds of things. And I, you know, over the years have tried to get more and more in touch with, you know, my emotions, how I'm feeling, dealing with pain, you know. I have a twin sister who's, you know, an incredible, I call her, she's like my rock. You know, I talk to her about a lot of stuff. And, you know, the Evolving Gladiators is really a place where, because we have a podcast as well that we'll be releasing in about 3 months. You know, we want to create this safe space where people can listen and go, oh, wow, I've been there. I understand. I'm so glad they're talking about this, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's so many people out there that maybe don't know where to turn or where to express themselves or what to say, you know, even just, you know, a man communicating to his wife or his girlfriend, or, you know, how important that is. And I believe that, you know, being vulnerable, there's so much strength in that. And it's very important for a man, I believe, to be able to do that. And he will find his own strength within that.
I love it. And so for those out there that are watching, and somebody sent a message in, I want to say it was about a month ago, and I want to thank you for sending the message, because the message complimented me on my foreshadowing. And so I just want to tell you that after getting that compliment, it made me think about it more. And I think I've done a pretty good job on this one, because our guest today, Dustin Garrick, is an internationally recognized voice in regards to masculinity, sexuality, and personal empowerment. Now, he has been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, the Associated Press, the San Francisco Chronicle, and on Showtime, to name just a few. The greatest power of Dustin's transformational work is that he embodies it, having taken what he's learned, studied, and explored, and integrated it fully into his own being. Now, as host of The Evolved Masculine, Redefining Sex Power and Success, which is his podcast, Dustin brings 20 years of direct study, training, and active life experimentation to help us have better sex, deeper connections with our masculine power, and understanding women, and most importantly, ourselves. So anyway, he's recognizing the need for new role models in men in these changing times. So Dustin has dedicated himself to redefining and evolving masculinity for the 21st century. Dustin, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you. Really a pleasure to be on. I've really enjoyed just listening to the three of you speak about this already.
So, yeah, and you know, after I started learning more about you and reading the book, and I started thinking, okay, I want to make sure that I have some of the right people here to help me talk to you about what I think is an incredibly important subject. But to start off with, share a little bit about your background for our audience, because I think sometimes people will misunderstand, and they'll think, oh, this is somebody that's got it all together and had it all together, and they said, you should write a book. So tell us how you got started in your background.
I relate to this work as a feeling of purpose and mission with my life. And like many people who have such a deep sense of dedication to purpose and mission, it's not because this is just all easy, but it was born from my own pain, my own difficulties and sufferings. I grew up in a volatile household with my parents in constant screaming matches or worse. And took on a lot of negative associations, especially with my father at that time. But then a major turning point for me was when I was 16 years old. My high school girlfriend was raped on her 15th birthday just before we met. And I ended up being the first person she told, and it had a massive impact on me, as I wasn't exactly emotionally equipped to handle at the time. But we ended up being together for the next 3 years. And at some point in a state of exasperation, I just made a declaration to God, the universe, myself most of all, that I would do everything I could with my life to create a world where things like this didn't happen anymore. Unfortunately, I took on I internalized a message that I didn't realize I was doing at the time, but essentially that men, masculinity, especially men's sexuality, are dangerous and harmful. And being a boy on the cusp of becoming a man, like, this didn't exactly serve me very well. Over the next 10 years, I really retreated and cut off from these parts of myself. Anything that I related to as part of my masculinity, I was increasingly afraid of and kind of shut down. And I retreated more into the feminine aspects of myself because it just seemed safer. At least then I wouldn't cause harm the way that this boy did to my high school girlfriend. Finally, at around 28 years old, I realized, you know, I think something is horribly out of balance in my life. And I dedicated 2007, which is now 13 years ago, to actively explore my masculinity and what it means to me to be a man in this world. And it proved to be a remarkably powerful and transformative journey, so much more than I ever imagined. And so much so that ended up becoming the root of my work in the world. What I thought at the time was just some thing that I had to deal with because of my own weird, messed up journey, I came to increasingly recognize that there are a lot of men in today's world who are struggling with what does it mean to be a man, especially a good man in the 21st century? What is masculinity and how do I have a healthy relationship to it?
Wow, Destin, I almost wish that I wish I wrote your book. I feel like it's something that I have to dive into. That's so amazing. And you know, your experience, I mean, that's just awful what happened to your girlfriend at the time. I feel for her. And, you know, obviously it, that whole experience propelled you to go on to go out there and change the world. So thank you for that. I wanted to ask you, it's funny, I've come up in conversation as well with friends and people I've talked to, like what is it to be a man, right? What is it to be a man in today's world? Is it the strong macho guy? You know, is it the Rambo that my dad's, you know, those characters my dad's portrayed in certain movies? Or is it, you know, someone who's in touch with their feelings and is not afraid to talk about those things and can be vulnerable and, you know, be able to do that, you know?
Well, I think this one of the challenges that we come across is this notion that it's an either or. I believe that what's really being called forward is a more integrated man, a man who is strong in spirit, if not just physically strong, but I don't know, emotionally and spiritually strong, a man who can stand in his truth and be a stand for something of value in the world, and a man who is in touch with his emotions, is not ruled by those emotions, but is able to feel what he's feeling and is able to express what he's feeling in a healthy manner. But they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And so, Destin, one of the thoughts that I've had is that we know that this is something that has changed, and we know that we went from a society in which people lived in small clusters. And so what you learned about masculinity was what you saw. It was what was modeled for you. It would be your father, it would be your grandfather, it would be your uncle, your next door neighbor. That was what was provided for you. We're now in a world in which mass media just bombards people with a huge amount of information. And unfortunately, we're in a time in which they've recognized that negative seems to get more eyeballs, so they tend to focus on the negative. So let's talk a little bit about how we can stay in our integrity when there's so many toxic messages that are bombarding us out there, and to still be a man, but to stay in our own integrity and not be so influenced by what's being put out there.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love that you're even using that word. Integrity is, to me, one of the major values of what I call the evolved masculine. So you can think of integrity as saying what you mean, meaning what you say, being a man of your word, being in alignment with your values and your principles. And so part of it is getting clear as to what are those values and principles? What is it that is very meaningful to you? And with that, what are those things that you are a stand for in this world? So I think that as you get very clear on those deeper truths, it's a lot easier to stand in them, to hold true to them in the face of external messaging. But the other thing that we really need are more positive role models, especially male role models. And as I argue in the book, I think that we particularly need healthy masculine role models around sexuality. We have a ton of models of what not to do and what not to be in those regards. But most people, when I ask them, so what does healthy masculine sexuality look like? They get blank stares.
Yeah, I feel like people don't really probably understand what that is. It's always like there's like maybe this caveman approach, right? Just kind of like the chest pumping feeling, right?
Yes, or you have the opposite, where men feel like, I don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. So instead they feel that they need to stifle their sexual expression. And I personally believe that neither one of them is really authentic, to be honest, and nor do I believe either is what women are really wanting or craving, or what's really even in our best interest either.
I think it stems from like a lot of male insecurity, and so it comes out in very strange ways. Like sometimes if a man is more insecure, he may feel like he needs the woman to, whether it's sexually or, you know, the arm candy, whatever, to make him feel more of a man rather than him just being able to be confident in himself and just, you know, be, right? So he acts out maybe inappropriate ways or unethical ways.
And this gets back to what you mentioned earlier about the macho approach to masculinity. Honestly, I tend to think of the machismo as insecurity. That as soon as you're in some form of performance of your masculinity, you are trying to prove something about who you are and what you are and your degree of enoughness or your degree of how much of a man you really are. None of those are true confidence.
Marty, so share with us a little bit in regards to some of the changes, because what we're talking about is sort of an evolution. You know, the roles have changed. The roles of masculinity and femininity now are being questioned. What's your thoughts on that?
All right, Dustin, I don't buy what you're saying regarding the masculine, the machismo at all. I'm one of those guys that cries at supermarket openings. You know, you know. I mean, I most movies I go to, I cry at. I've been known to really just get much more emotional than any woman I've ever been with. I find women to be extremely compassionate, but at times not as sensitive as I am. It's debatable, if depending on the woman you talk to. But I don't think machismo, I mean, I like to shoot guns and ride horses and all those things. And I prefer to make, when I do Cobra Kai, I prefer to play very humanistic moments, not the tough-ass sensei who, you know, who became a legend by being a beast. You know, I really appreciate when the writers write for me, and I often ask for it, a very humanistic scene where I'm touched and I can drop a tear here and there, you know. And I enjoy that much more than I enjoy being what you quote as macho. I'm not, you know, I absolutely enjoy everything that machismo represents, you know, but there's the other side of me that you can call feminine or you can just call a sensitive man. But the bottom line is it doesn't hide anything. My machismo, my representation of some of the tough parts of life and how I appreciate them, doesn't sort of remove any of the femininity or the sensitivity I have as a as an actor.
Well, thank you for saying that. And first of all, I appreciate being challenged on anything that I say, so I certainly welcome that. I think that the root here is, where is it coming from? You know, the enjoyment of things like hunting and, I'm sorry, I forgot everything else that you referenced. As long as it's coming from that place of enjoyment, enjoy. Enjoy. It's when it's coming from a sense of, this is what I need to do in order to be seen by others as a man. That, to me, is actually the opposite of masculinity. Masculinity at its root has this drive for freedom. And when you are being controlled, consciously or unconsciously, by the perception, by your fears of the perception of others, that is not freedom. And to me, that is not masculinity.
I couldn't agree more. Here's a perfect example of my dad's masculinity, right? Like, whenever our family goes to a party, the coves are always the first one on the dance floor. We don't care. My dad is always the first one to grab either, you know, usually his girlfriend's arm or whatever, and bring her to the dance floor, and doesn't care what other people think. And I know that that is his internal masculinity on fire. When maybe others are scared to do something like that because maybe it isn't looked at as masculine to get on the dance floor and go wild and have fun. You know I'm right.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And even when my 2.5-year-old grandson is we put on Tina Turner and we put on, you know, addicted to love or whatever, because I was just in London. I'm a big Tina Turner fan. Came back from seeing the Tina Turner musical, and he's 2.5, and he rocks and rolls at 2.5. He's been keeping a beat, you know. But, I mean, getting on the dance floor or doing anything really, I would say, delicate and it's kind of what words would I use here. But things that are, I don't know if they're feminine, really. They're just my interpretation of something very light and sensitive in life. And dancing is one of them, and playing music is another. And, it's just, for me, it's part of just becoming a human being and growing up. I don't particularly think that, I don't think I changed very much. I think in the early days, as you get older, some of what you're saying might be true, that you had to do certain things to prove yourself to be macho, you know, and I don't know if I ever interpreted that way, but I probably did. You know, I probably did some things that were interpreted as, well, what a macho ass he is, you know, and I probably didn't do it for that reason, I think. I might have done it just because I kind of liked, you know, learning how to fast draw, learning how to ride horses, learning how to, you know, just you know, interpret movies and roles and things like that. And they were tough guys. So it's an interesting combination for me. I'm not sure what you're saying is incorrect at all, but probably was something that I invested time in more years ago than today.
That, I would say that's Marty Cove that you're listening to. He's a guest co-host here. With me also is Jesse. And our guest today is Destin Garrick, and his book is The Evolved Masculine, Be the Man the World Needs and the One That She Craves. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585. Or visit our website at westshield.com.
Logan.
Yeah. Thank you.
Logan.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and we are talking about masculinity. Our guest is Destin Garrick. And Destin, we also get listener questions, and we have some that have come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do this. This one reads, "You have tackled a really tough topic. It is so hard to maintain a relationship when the expectations these days are so high and walking out is so easy. At 35, I have dated two women seriously, and each time things are pretty great for a while, and then the game of looking for an exit seems to begin. If one excuse doesn't work, they seem to find another to sabotage the relationship. Each time, I have been the one asking to talk and works things out. I am going to read your book in an off chance that maybe I am causing this. Whatever the case, my parents have a wonderful loving marriage, and I still believe that I may succeed in creating the same one day too." And this is from Brian in Louisiana. Oops, Destin?
Great, great. You hear me, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, great question. I do think you'll get a lot out of the book. You're raising, by the off chance that I'm the the issue here. One thing to keep in mind here is, put simply, you're the common denominator in all these different relationships. The woman that you were last with was not in the previous relationship, was not in the previous relationship. You were. So I say this to you not to shame or judge you or like, this is, you know, this is what's wrong with you, but rather there is power there. And when you take full responsibility for the experience of your relationships, then you have the power to create change. What, hopefully through the book, you'll have an opportunity to see aspects of yourself that you're not currently seeing. And by having that willingness, I mean, this is what our relationships can be. We have this notion of the fairy tale happily ever after, right? We meet, we fall in love, and then things are just supposed to be great.
Mm-hmm. The real life comes in.
Well, even more than that, I tend to relate to relationship as spiritual practice. And by that, I simply mean that your relationships, your deepest relationships, are going to bring up your deepest wounds, the parts of yourself that you haven't looked at, the things that you've avoided through your life otherwise, your emotional wounds, and they're coming up so that you can address them. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but they're there so that they can be worked through. And I believe that taking this type of a mental frame can be very helpful, because then it's not like, oh my God, something is coming up, something is wrong, maybe this isn't the right relationship, I should just find another one, which really just means that you're going to go into another relationship and have the same thing happen again. But rather, this thing is coming up, it's come up in my previous relationship, what is it that I need to see here? What am I not seeing? Or even get external help. Mm-hmm. Get that external professional help for the two of you, some form of relationship counseling or seeing a psychotherapist, somebody who can help you see the things that you're not currently seeing so you can move through them, hopefully once and for all, and have that relationship that you say that you're wanting to have.
You know, first of all, I got to tell you, I love the fact that that you touched on so many of the different things that he should be looking at. That there is no one answer, and for Brian, the fact that you added in there that you're willing to look at the fact that what is it about me? You know, that what is the common denominator? And again, that's just what Destin said: is first look at the common denominator. So I want to share a story, and I had a friend of mine who had gone through a divorce and had found the love of his life. And so when I met him, he was in a great position. He was in love and said, you know, the difference is that I sat down and I wrote down exactly what it is that I want, that what I don't want, everything that I'm looking for in a woman, mentally, physically, spiritually. He said, I wrote a ton of stuff and I put it all down in writing. And then I focused on that so that I was going to manifest it. And I thought, what a great idea. So I did the same thing. And I wrote everything down, and I thought about it for a little bit, and I thought, I have to write another one of these. And I wrote another one, and this one was titled, Who is the Man That I Need to Be to Deserve the Woman That I Just Wrote Down on There? So the fact that you're going to look at yourself, Brian, I think is huge. And put down who you need to be to get the woman that you believe you deserve.
Alan, that's amazing. That's incredible. And so I so believe that. You know, you take responsibility for, I mean, look, I've been in lots of relationships, and some I've taken responsibility for, some I haven't. And, you know, it's always a journey. But I think what you said really puts the nail on the head, looking at yourself. And then no matter where you are, you will eventually attract that person into your life because of all the work you've done on yourself, which I think is incredible. And then you'll be so empowered by your own work that you sometimes will not feel the need to have that companion all the time, and eventually they'll just walk into your life.
That's a great point. Absolutely.
I love that, every word. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I've been down those roads. I understand. I'm always in process somewhere.
Well, I actually think that that's very valid, that we all learn a lot about ourselves through relationships. I'm in a relationship now, and I've learned a great deal about my level of patience, about my level of consideration. I've learned a great deal about how I treat people within this relationship, guided by this relationship, compared to how I did prior to this relationship. And it's been quite an education. And it's through, if it wasn't through the eyes of this young lady that I am with right now, I probably would maintain the same point of view as I did 2.5 years ago prior to the relationship beginning in regard to greater consideration for humanity and greater tolerance for humanity and greater tolerance for my associate, whether it be in a film or someone doing the plumbing in my house or the gardener or just my, you know. It's never been a family problem for me, because I've always put family ahead of everything. But there are times when, from a social standpoint, that right now condescendence has been removed from my existence for a long time.
So, Marty, as you're saying that, it's making me think of a very famous line from a movie where Jack Nicholson says, "You make me want to be a better man."
Oh,
that's what you're saying.
As good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
One of my favorites.
Exactly. But, I mean, essentially, that's what I hear you saying is that the woman that you have in your life has made you want to be a better man.
Yeah, unquestionably.
And I've seen what's so nice, even for the gentleman that, you know, wrote the question, it's like I've witnessed my father and his lady, like they have, you know, sometimes there's ups and downs or whatever, like in any relationship. But I think it's so important to see that, you know, the level of communication that happens even through the mud, that's kind of the testament of, you know, whether it will last or not, is because if they can show up for you through the mud, vice versa, the man to the woman, woman to the man, you know, it's kind of like, wow, you can really grow from that, because that's, and I've come to learn this myself as well, is like through the pain is where the growth comes from. And the willingness to be able to put the mirror up and look at yourself, take responsibility, and, you know, vice versa.
And with what you're saying about observing somebody, like, quote, going through the mud or whatever, actually brings to a question that I want to ask Destin, because I know that he has spoken about it both in the book and in some of his speaking engagements. Destin, you've talked about the fact that there are three main things, you know, that can really knock a man off center. So what they can do is, as men, you know, what can they do when they've knocked off center that can still allow them to maintain their masculinity and their integrity?
Okay, so there's actually a few things wrapped up in that question. The first, you mentioned the three things. First, let me name what those three things are. I spoke of a woman's tears or sadness and grief, a woman's anger or rage, and a woman's sexuality or ecstasy. Any of those three things can have a tendency to have a very strong emotional or energetic impact on a man. Men have been known to, wherever they're at, to immediately get pulled either to wanting to help her and solve or fix or save the woman in tears, or drop in, or if the woman's angry, to either get defensive, to get angry with her, to attack, or to flee. Or in the face of her turn-on, her woman's sexuality, whether he can, it can bring up his own resentments, it can drive his own sexual energy up faster than he may otherwise be able to handle. He may feel like he's got to do something with this sudden surge of sexual energy. So what can a man do is learn how to hold his center, learn how to be an anchor, that rock in the face of any of these intense energies, where he's able to hold on to his energetic and emotional sovereignty in the face of wherever she is going, to create a safe space or container for her to be or and to express whatever she is feeling without anything being wrong or needing to be different than it is. All of those things are going to strengthen his masculinity. It's going to make her feel so much more safer and ultimately more connected. And now this isn't about shutting down or putting up a wall so you're not feeling what she's feeling. She wants to feel felt, but there's a difference between her feeling felt by you and her feeling like you've been blown over by her energy. So strengthening your sense of self, being able to maintain an open heart while rooted and solid in your own state.
I like
very
it.
Powerful.
Before we run out of time, Destin, tell a little bit about what it is that you're doing. Obviously, you have the book, you have the podcast. I believe you're also doing some consulting or counseling yourself. A little bit about what you're doing. We've got about 3 minutes, and how people can best get a hold of you.
Yeah, I do a lot. So I published a book, The Evolved Masculine, Be the Man the World Needs and the One She Craves. You can find it on Amazon, of course, and better bookstores everywhere. Addition to that, I formed a company called The Evolved Masculine that has served men at this point in dozens of countries around the world. We've served easily a few thousand men, if not more. We work with men around forming healthier relationships to their masculinity and helping them become the kind of man that they want to be, reprogram their sense of their sexuality so that they feel like it's healthier and not something that they have to repress nor something that's controlling them, but rather is really integrated. And lastly, how to really understand women both on a collective level as well as the individual woman in their life and form healthier relationships with her. So if those are areas that you carry any challenges around, you may want to start with the book, but also reach out. We also have our new Evolve Masculine membership community, where we have been scaling a community of men to support one another, have these conversations openly, clearly with one another, and just really help each other be the best men that we're capable of being.
And for those of you out there, if you're at your computer, that's evolvedmasculine.com. If you're driving or you're not in a position to write this down, go to the Answers for the Family site, and we will have all this information there for you. Destin, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it, and I really want to acknowledge you for putting yourself out there. I think people don't realize that one of the most difficult things for many men is just to show the vulnerability, and that's part of what you're doing by putting a book out there and talking about feelings.
And Destin, if you're cool, I would love to continue this conversation on the Evolving Gladiators podcast. I think it would be really, really great for people.
I love the title. I'm in.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Marty, Jesse, first of all, I just want to thank you for joining me today on the show. But share with us a little bit about what you're currently involved in and how our listeners that want to follow you or to stay in touch with each of you.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Marty. Oh,
no, you go first. You got to go.
Well, I've been doing this television series on YouTube Red, Cobra Kai. Very interesting, working with three terrific writers. Hayden Schlossberg and Josh Heald and John Hurwitz, and it's been very exciting based on The Karate Kid and all. And we have a movie coming out called VFW, which is a movie I did with Stephen Lang for Fangoria Company. Dallas Sunier is the producer, and it's very, very exciting, and it's a funny movie. It's a little gory, but it's marvelous.
It's awesome. It's so good.
It's really about camaraderie and about Vietnam vets, and it really triggers a lot of good emotions. And, just finished Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is hopefully going to win an Academy Award. And, a lot of exciting things, developing a Western, which is my big deal. But, everything we discussed today is very vitally important. I just have to really conclude on that. Credits are credits. But the bottom line is, it is interesting to take into consideration a lot of the things that Destin said. at the age of 72, you know, and even though I have the energy of a 50-year-old, the bottom line is you still don't consider a lot of the things he talked about unless they come up in a relationship, one-on-one. And at this age, I am still enjoying actually interpreting my former self into my future self. You know, so it's quite interesting to be called on the carpet about certain areas in your personality as an older man and still be able to improve those issues, you know, as you get older.
Well, I'm very proud of your work that you've done on yourself. I've seen it firsthand. It's fantastic, Dad, truly. I'm Jesse Cove. You can find me at Jesse Cove on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also go to Evolving Gladiators on Instagram as well. And our podcast will be released the next few months. Alan, thank you so much for having us on here. A lot of fun.
Well, and as I said, when it comes out, let's have you on here before then. We'll be able to talk about it a little bit more. But I think that one of the things that it's funny because Marty, you made this sound like this was like no big deal. Well, you know, I do this little thing on YouTube Red and whatever. So I just want to touch on that a little bit more. First of all, it's one of the highest rated series on television. I mean, and when I say television, it's on in this day streaming is television. It's one of the highest rated things. And at one point, I think now that Game of Thrones has ended, I think that Cobra Kai has the largest amount of viewers of any television show, period.
Digital show.
Yeah, digital
it's
show,
the, it's
yes.
It's the most watched digital show in the world, which
yes.
is incredible.
Yeah.
Or we first saw that online, right? We saw
the Parrot Analytics, which is like the Nielsen ratings.
Yes.
They declared that. Like Jesse and I just gave an award for them in Miami. But the bottom line is that they're the Nielsen ratings of streaming shows, and we are the most watched show now that Game of Thrones is off, which was a network show anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really a streaming show. But, you know, it's terrific, and we'll have season four coming sometime April or May. We finished that. And
you mean season three?
Oh, yeah, season three. Right.
Yeah. You'll be shooting season 4.
We don't know
four.
If season four will happen right. yet.
Yeah.
Season four will happen, but
yeah, maybe. Well,
season three.
Hopefully it does.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But now, so for somebody like myself who remembers The Karate Kid, share a little bit with our listeners because they may not necessarily know exactly what Cobra Kai is, but most of them will remember what The Karate Kid was. So share a little bit about the story so that it makes them want to go check it out.
Well, initially, it's a story of Johnny Lawrence, my student who I love as a father. And it's 30 years later, and Ralph Macchio is in this as well. And it's what happens to Ralph Macchio, William Zabka, and myself 30 years later. And it's really good. I mean, these cats wrote Harold and Kumar, they wrote Hot Tub Time Machine, you know, and they wrote just three seasons of brilliance. And, you know, they're just really straight shooters. And you know, it's the story, it's a continuation. If you loved Karate Kid, you'll love, because it's not black and white. Karate Kid was white hats, black hats.
Right.
This is all gray. All these characters are gray. All these characters have arcs and inner lives and things that, you know, teenagers mm-hmm. today appreciate on television, because unfortunately Red River and the Wild Bunch might not be enough these days to, you know, to sort of eclipse into brilliance, you know, to the average teenager. So everybody's sophisticated tastes have gotten more sophisticated, especially in the younger age. So this is right up their alley.
Well, I was going to say, as Paul Harvey used to say, check it out because it is the rest of the story.
It so, really is. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
All right. So now for everybody out there, you know, if you get the opportunity, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to our show through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio, as well as Facebook Live for those of you that are on. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will It will help us reach more people, and I want you to know how much we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. We're going to close with a commercial, and you will recognize the voice because he is sitting right here. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.